You're all very welcome to this service of morning prayer. I was just saying to everybody what a lovely summer it's been, and it's very nice to be here this morning. We're going to think this morning, the New Testament reading is Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" So that's really what we'll be thinking about this morning. We'll just give everybody time to get up, take your time. My watch might be fast. We're going to begin by singing hymn 336, Jesus, Where'er Thy People Meet. Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, art found, and every place is hallowed ground. The service of morning prayer on page 101. The Lord be with you. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And we're going to sing the Canticle Jubilate in the traditional form, which you'll find on page 120. The psalm appointed for the day is Psalm 124. Psalm 124, and you'll find it on page 744.
Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 51, beginning at verse 1. Hearken to me, you who pursue deliverance, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were digged. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For when he was but one, I called him, and I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go forth from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. My deliverance draws near speedily. My salvation has gone forth, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlines wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We sing the canticle Te Deum, parts 1 and 2, and you'll find it on page 126. Parts 1 and 2 of the Te Deum.
Thank you.
We sit for the New Testament reading. And the New Testament reading is from Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea at Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. We sing the canticle Glory and Honour, which you'll find on page 131. As we stand, we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 112. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the King.
And grant us government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
And the collect of the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, you're always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And the collects at morning prayer on page 114. We say the first collect together. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the fourth collect we say together. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we come to God with our needs, with our intercessions, we remember that he knows our needs. He knows all about us. And he knows all the things that we face every day. Because Jesus says, I am the way for you. He says, I am the truth for you. And he says, I am the life for you. Lord, transform us by your love, that we may know and do your will, that we may live and work to your praise and glory. We present ourselves, our souls and bodies to you. You give us life, you give us love, you give us yourself. May we give our lives and our love and ourselves to you. We pray for the church. We pray for the worldwide church. And we pray for this church in Annahilt, that we may work together for the good of all. We give thanks for the gifts you have given to us. And let us use them to your glory. As we come facing a world which seems to be so much in turmoil, We think of those countries where there is war and division and terrible suffering. We think especially of the Bible lands. We think of Ukraine and Sudan. And we think of our own country. Help us to remember that you created us in your image. We pray for all those who are working for peace. We pray for all those who are working to bring healing, to bring new drugs, to bring all sorts of new innovations into the health center. We remember those known to us who are sick, either at home or in hospital. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, went about doing good and healing all kinds of sickness, continue his gracious work among us in hospitals and homes. Give wisdom, sympathy, and patience to those who care for them. Surround those who are sick in body or in mind with your love, and remind them that you have promised to be with them always, even in their deepest distress, and give them that peace which passes all understanding. We pray for all those who have been bereaved. We think of all the people who have been killed on our roads across the country, across the UK in this last week. We pray for all those who have ministered to them, the fire services, the ambulance services, and we pray for their families. We know that you are with us on our journey. When our lives are empty and our hearts are cold and our spirits are low, Christ of the Bethlehem stable, be born in us. When we rejoice in health and happiness and life seems fair and good, Christ of the roads of Galilee, walk with us. When we seek our own interests and concerns before those of others, Christ of the temple cleansing, deal with us. When our decisions are hard, our ways are stony, and our hopes are dim, Christ of Gethsemane, weep with us. When we tread the paths of suffering and of loss, Christ of the cross of Calvary, stay with us. And when our journey is ended and we bring our souls into your keeping, Christ of the empty tomb, welcome us. In a moment of quietness, we bring our own needs to the Lord. And we leave all our worries and all our anxieties in your hands. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing hymn 325, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. May I speak in the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" What is Jesus' identity, and who is he really? Identity, our identity is important. I attended a course many years ago on identity, and we were asked to introduce ourselves and say one thing we liked about our Christian name and one thing we didn't like. The responses were very interesting and at times strong. Some thought their name was too old-fashioned, some thought it was too trendy, or there were too many Johns or too many Davids or whatever. So people had quite strong feelings about them, and that's only your name. That's just part of everything else. My thing was that my name is Marie and my mother's called Mary. So you can imagine the confusion that that would cause. I think, how did they possibly call us that? But we all have identities. We're fathers, mothers, daughters, carers, musicians, cooks, bakers, gardeners, and so on and so on. We're very interested in who we are, where we come from. I know I've met people who, at considerable cost, have sent off swabs of their DNA to companies who specialize in identifying backgrounds. Think of the television program, Who Do You Think You Are? People are fascinated by their own background, genes, and their identity. I always think the television program, Who Do You Think You Are? I don't think I'd like to go on it, because dear knows what skeletons they'd find in your cupboard. Seriously though, it's important that people are who they say they are. We want to be sure that the surgeon who does our operation really is a surgeon and is qualified for the job. Same thing for the train driver who drives our trains or the plumber who fixes things in our house. And in our reading, Jesus has been with the disciples for a long time now, and he's asking them, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Then who do you say that I am? He had spent 3 years with these men. They were his most trusted students, his personal friends, his inner circle. They had left everything behind to follow him. They had been with him at every moment of the day. They had seen him teach the crowds on the shores and in the fields. They had seen droves of sick people coming to meet him for healing. They had been there when he performed miracles, like feeding the 5,000, or casting out demons, or challenging the authorities. So this was the testing question. After all the time you have spent with me, all that we have experienced together, do you really know who I am? The disciples must have discussed this among themselves during those 3 years. Did you hear what he said today? Did you see all those people he healed? Did you realize that he cast out demons and he talked to that Samaritan woman? Because Jesus' question to them was vital. It was the crux of everything. The first question, who do others think I am, maybe is a bit easier, because people can say, yes, he's a great prophet, a holy man, a spiritual leader, a healer. But the disciples themselves, surely they would know better than anyone. They were the ones who knew him best, and their answer would be critical to the spread of the kingdom of God. They had heard Jesus describe himself as the Good Shepherd, the light of the world, the Son of Man, the way, the truth, and the life. So who was going to answer? Of course, Simon Peter, first to answer. The impetuous, spirited, at times fearful disciple was on target this time. In this watershed moment, he answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." His answer went beyond all the other titles Jesus had been given. He realized that Jesus was indeed the Savior, the Anointed One, the Messiah. This was a vital question for Jesus to ask, because their response would change the course of history, because the disciples were to be the foundation of the church. And Simon Peter was given a new identity. Peter, the rock, the bedrock, the foundation rock. His answer went beyond what anyone else was saying. And as a result of this confession, his life took a completely different direction. Because recognizing Jesus as the Messiah enabled him to be transformed into a stalwart of the faith, giving him a new name. It instilled in him the courage, the strength, the optimism to handle the new job of being founder of the church. Recognizing just who Jesus is changes lives. Ask the woman at the well. Ask the Apostle Paul. Ask someone like Mother Teresa. Because knowing that Jesus is the Son of God changes your life. We're all sitting in church this morning. You have come here because you made a decision. You made a choice to believe in and worship God and to try and live according to his ways. It may have been due to an experience or in a time of prayer when you were a young person, or simply that your faith has always been part of you for as long as you remember. Your faith, your belief in God, your church, is part of your DNA. It's who you are. And you know from your faith and your experiences that for Christians in times of darkness, we can see a light. In the storms of life, we have an anchor. When tomorrow is uncertain, we know that we are not alone. And life doesn't end here. Jesus promises us eternity. And what a difference that makes. As well as that, we become part of a bigger worldwide family, a more inclusive, wonderful, varied family of believers. Because we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we live our lives differently. We live our lives not just for ourselves, because our values are changed, but we live for others. We strive to be more open, more disciplined, more loving, more tolerant, more purposeful. We try to be like him. We often fail, but we know that we can start again, knowing that we have a loving, living God who is with us, who cares for us, and who forgives us, no matter what. Amen. To do good and to distribute, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We sing the offertory hymn 285, "The Head That Once Was Crowned with Thorns."
Thank you.
Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Amen. Go and know that the Lord goes with you. Let him lead you each day into the quiet place of your heart, where he will speak with you. Know that he loves you and watches over you, and that he is with you always, wherever you are, and however you may feel. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and all those you love, today and forever. Just a few announcements. As you probably know, the rector is off until the 2nd of September. Yes, you can sit down. The rector's off till the 2nd of September. So emergency calls are to the Reverend Graham Spence, and the church wardens have those details. We're to highlight the Bishop's Bible Week, which is on in September from Tuesday the 1st till Friday the 4th at 7:45 each evening in Holy Trinity, Banbridge. The speaker is Dr. Tim Robinson, who's apparently from Northern Ireland originally. He's Professor of Pastoral Theology in Dallas Theological Seminary. And then there's a few things which you probably know about yourself. The Annahilt Wednesday Club, beginning on the 16th of September, and then the Larchfield Community Development Association have road runs and vintage day on Saturday the 12th, but there's plenty of time to prepare for those. We sing our recessional hymn 372.